This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Or he did his job perfectly.
But we don't know yet.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know. But in the moment right now, they're hurt.
I understand.
Like, they're hurt.
And that's also, like what you just said, is also just the thing I think about. Like I said, I'm not trying to police nobody. I want to be perfectly clear. But we don't know if he did his job perfectly or poorly. But we'll go towards he did it poorly. Even though we don't know. You know, does that make sense? Like, we don't know, but let's err on he was bad. Because his job might have been to trade Luka. That might have been his job. Mm-hmm. You may think his job is to do something else. You may think his job was to get second rounders and build this this championship and go get another Derek Lively or something. You may think that's his job, but the people who hire him said, your job is to move on from this guy so we don't have to pay him $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he, if that's what his job is, he did his job. But we don't know. We don't see that. So we just err on he did bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, you think he did bad because he didn't do what you think he should have done. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. I think I'll side with fans on this one. At just
if you're
being
a Mavs
emotional
fan,
and frustrated.
Well, yeah, there's no like, oh, yeah, like they didn't want to. Like, no, you got to boo that. You traded like a top 100 NBA player of all time. Like, you can't. There's no justifying that. Like, I get, like, maybe Nico had to do a job. But if you're a fan, like, hell, I'm going to boo that forever.
Yeah. And you also, and you also boo that without.
You almost kind of undercut the next 5-10 years of your team, maybe. Like, you had the guy. You had, like, the guy there, and you traded him. Like, you might not draft a Luka anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
That's a guy you pay $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you just
facts.
Mentioned, there's like maybe a handful of them in the league.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
Yeah.
So I know basketball. You know basketball. Jesse does. A lot of people listening and watching know it as well. You know he's worth it. You know what I mean? But we also don't have to put no expenses out there. I'm not defending ownership, but – you say it all the time. It ain't our money. Sure. Pay everybody $300 million. It's not my money. But when you actually have to write the check, maybe you think about it differently.
Yeah, but that's you're right. The most owners aren't running their sports franchises like as their business.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Davis is an exception. Mark Davis, I believe Mark Davis's business is the Raiders. I believe he's expanded off. He's got the Aces. He's got, you know, other things going on right now. But Mark Davis's primary business is the Raiders. I don't believe Mark Davis had what we would even consider a pot of wealth in liquid money until he started selling off pieces of the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mark Davis is a very, very wealthy man. but he doesn't own 100% of the Raiders anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at, I mean, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys are his biggest moneymaker, but that man makes money everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Kroenke has businesses well outside his professional sports franchises. This group that owns the Dallas Mavericks, they run casinos in Las Vegas.
The sports team are to play money.
Right. Basically, yeah, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, Ballmer's what, a billionaere how many times over?
20 or something, huh?
Yeah, like, okay, yeah. So the Clippers got to pay Kawhi Leonard, you know, $250, $300 million? Okay. It's not like he's destitute if they do it. And so the idea now, when you're navigating the salary cap and you're navigating aprons and hard cap and everything, okay, now we're having a different discussion, mm-hmm. which, okay, this is a conversation. This is a conversation I think a lot of teams in the league are going to have. And Dallas is not a championship contender, regardless of what they did last year. They're not a championship contender. Mm-hmm. So do you make the decision, we're not a championship contender, we're not paying Luka Doncic that money? I'm not sure. But the idea that you don't start whatever you're trying to do with the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic is kind of wild to me.
It's absolutely wild. It's asinine. The only point I was making there is, like, just as person to person, like, Jesse, if we're talking to D'Lo and we're like, hey, man, just go buy that other house. Like, yeah, it'll cost you this, but you got it.
Well, yeah, we kind of did that with his past one. Like, hey, he's like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah, it's got everything you want. Plus, you get to walk outside in the backyard and see the city.
Like, you got it. Like,
you are a turncoat.
What are you talking about?
I'm joking a little bit, but if you got $200 million, no disrespect, I know you got more than that. I'm just making a point. If you got $200 million and I say, hey, man, go buy that $5 million house. Like, you got it. Do it. You would probably be like, that's not the point. If I don't want to, I ain't doing it. Like, the point isn't that I got it. The point is whether or not this is how I want to spend my money. And when we talk about owner, I think that's greedy for people who think that way. I think the owners who are like, oh, I'm making $300 million a year. I don't want to spend 100 of that on the play. I think that's greedy. Like, how much money you need? Ballmer, he doesn't do this, but Ballmer, you're worth $20 billion. Like, what's this to you? I think it's greedy. But I also realize, how am I going to tell somebody else how to spend their money?
Well, what else are you owning the team for? Like, how do you not pay Luka Doncic? Like, I get,
well, see, maybe that's,
I don't pay
and
Jalen
that's the
Brunson or whatever, the insert player. But, like, you own a professional sports team. How do you not pay, like, your biggest money maker, the guy that sells all your jerseys, blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you not pay that guy?
I know we believe these owners get into it. They, you know, it's all ego for most of these people. They want to win a championship. They want to, you know, show everyone, like, look what I did, look what I helped build. When in reality, some of them might just want to be in a club. You got people paying, what was it, $250, $300 a month to go eat at the Jacqueline because there's like 10 people there, mm-hmm. and complex mixing to me and you and nobody else. Yeah. But you got people who want to do that because that's there's an exclusive nature to that. Mm-hmm. You can't really find a more exclusive group than a sports owner. I mean, there's 30 in the NBA. Mm-hmm. There's 32 in the NFL. It was a 30 in Major League Baseball. Like, there is such a, the richest of the rich. We've gotten to the point where sports franchises now, they're so expensive that, you know, there might have been less than 1% mm-hmm. of the population could have afforded to buy a professional sports franchise before. Sports franchises are so expensive. We're probably at like less than like a half of a percent. Mm-hmm. that can afford to do it now. And those numbers are probably way inflated. It's probably half of a half. Like, it's so significantly smaller now because you need, I mean, the Celtics just sold for what? $6 billion?
Yeah. 6.1, I believe.
You have to have $6 billion on hand to purchase. And like, it's Maybe it's not about winning a championship. Maybe it's not about fielding a competitive team. It's about being an exclusive. Hell, wasn't that the argument that what Donald Sterling was doing? Mm-hmm. Donald Sterling wanted to be in an exclusive club. Mm-hmm. And that's why he ran the Clippers of San Diego and Los Angeles the way that he did.
You said it perfectly. Like Jesse asked, like, well, what are you owning a team for? To own a team. Why you're doing it. Like some people are owning it because they want to own a team. They want to hoist a championship and all this other stuff and win, right? And winning may be part of why you're doing it. It may not be the top two, though. There are some owners, I'm sure, of these sports teams who, if you list it, like, why do you own this team? Number one, like you just mentioned, to be in an exclusive group, to have that status of being a professional sports team owner. Number two, I want to make money, and this is an avenue to make money. Number three, I want to win in this league that I'm in. Do you see the tiers there, right? Yeah. The tier is, why am I in this? To be an exclusive group. Yep. The second tier, I want to make as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. The third tier is I want to win basketball games. And I'm not going to, some owners, I'm not going to move that thing that's in tier three up before tier two. I'm not going to do
it. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And I'm not, we're sports fans, so we think that's ridiculous. But for them, like I said, it's toy money. It's another asset. It's another tool to bring in money.
That's a good word.
But it could be to these guys.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a stock that if you present it right, can become significantly more valuable. Mm-hmm. We all know how dumb Vivek is. He can't do anything right, except his little Sacramento Kings stock has quadrupled in worth. Now, not all of that is what he's done. A lot of that is getting in at the right time, mm-hmm. and the market inflating. Mm-hmm. The sports market is the sports ownership market has inflated, and the in price is far, far greater. And now the club is more exclusive than it used to be.
Right. And Drew Down, he says, I'm never siding with billionaires. I don't think this conversation is about siding with billionaires. At least it isn't for me. Not side, like I think it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like the whole Luka situation in Dallas. All I'm saying is, just because that's your priority doesn't mean it's theirs. And honestly, to be completely honest, who's to say one is right over the other?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just because we want to win basketball games doesn't make us right in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, ain't the whole point of sports, though? That's the whole point of all this?
That's the whole point of sports. That's not the whole point of business. These are business people that got into this.
Well, yeah, it's different, though.
But the business aspect is, if we're just here to have fun, yeah, like, I'm going to support somebody else. You can't mm-hmm. have my money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's not a accident. There's a God knows how many Warriors fans here.
Right.
I don't blame anyone in this market who's a Warriors fan. I'm not supporting y'all no more. Y'all threaten to move to, what is it, Virginia Beach, Anaheim, mm-hmm. Seattle.
And y'all ain't no good.
right. And y'all suck. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, no. Like, you're not trying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You've stopped trying. Okay. Well, man, there's this kid from Davidson just 90 miles from here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to root for him instead. Mm-hmm. I don't blame anyone who does that.
100%.
Laker fans, that's different. Y'all just wish you were from L.A.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, y'all get out of my face.
Boo them.
But I don't blame anyone who's a Warriors fan. And all kidding aside, I don't blame anyone who's a fan of a different team here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's tough when you see that. And that's not a year. That was a stretch of years. There were multiple relocation sagas. I mean, losing is one thing. Like, not being a properly run basketball team. Like, that's one thing. But what this fan base went through, I don't blame them for saying, no, man, I'm not doing this. Until it was, oh, they're going to sell? Oh, no, we'll support this team to get their asses out of here.
Hmm.
If our support means they're gone, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I'm back.
Facts.
I'm all in.
Facts.
But that's it's the dicey relationship between a team's owners and its fan base. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, whether fair or not, Nico took the brunt of the reaction from that fan base.
Yeah. And once again, that's just part of the game if you're Nico Harrison. I think somebody said it in the chat. I did feel a little bad for him as a person, human to human.
Oh, for sure. You know what I mean? Like,
Have to deal with that. And once again, that's what you sign up for. That's why you're making the money you make or just taking that job in general. But I felt bad for him.
Fan chants are like social media. Like, you can drown in the, is the word anonymity? You can drown in that. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, walking past Nico and, hey, they should have fired you. And Nico looks at him and says, yeah, I thought it was best for the basketball team. Their tone is going to change. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to puff their chest up and try to fight Nico Harrison over this, especially by themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're with 18,000 other people, mm-hmm. it's different. Mm-hmm. But it's no different than hashtag sell the team. It's no different. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. Daniel, we see you. Hang tight. Actually, want to hear what you have to say. Anyone else want to get in on this conversation or any conversation, hit us on the phone lines, 916-909-1320. Steelin' with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
All right, let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. 916-909-1320, our man Daniel. Daniel, what's going on, brother?
What's up, man?
D'Lo, man, you're so right about these guys trying to buy a team to be in a club. Look at how long Cuban has wanted to. He's tried to get into the NFL a long time, and I know he finally got a minority stake in the Cowboys, but that can't be a big stake. I'm sure the owner of Oracle. He's been trying to get a baseball team for the longest time. The guy's got $216 billion.
Yeah.
And the guy just can't get into the club. He wants in, but he can't get into the club. Mm-hmm. You know, these soccer teams are selling like crazy too to all these, the 49ers bought their stake over there. It's just a club, man. They want to be in the Premier League. They want to be in, you know, they want to be loved. That's what I think.
Yeah. Like I there's probably something to that too.
Yeah. And once again, appreciate you, Daniel. Once again, I think multiple things can be true. You can want to be in the club, you can want to make money, and you can still want to win, right?
Sure.
But I do think there's sometimes, not all the time, there's a list of priorities. Even down to, I won't use Vivek because it's too much of a lightning rod, but just Celtics owners at the time, like, all right, we want to win. We're going to spend some money to win. We're going to spend some money to win about 3-4 years. But after that, we got to get back to making money.
Mm.
Like, we're not just going to keep – and I don't know the numbers. I don't believe they're taking a deficit with how – sports are now, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the case. But
not
maybe,
the Celtics.
No, yeah. But like maybe we're taking less money than we could. We'll do that for 3 or 4 years in the name of winning. We ain't going to do that forever. Mm. Like we're not going to do. And then if you win, say you win two of them or whatever. All right, we won two.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to shift the priorities back to making money. We got to do that. And you're seeing it with like these rules that I think are just awful in the CBA.
Like, Raymond's right.
You got that one spot on. Teams are, they want to win, but like, how bad you want to win?
Mm.
Even Joe Lacob reached the breaking point where he's like, all right, I'm not just going to keep spending money into the abyss.
Well, I will on him though, but not him.
Right. I'm not going to just keep spending money into the abyss. You know, because the tax money is money that's like not even, it's almost not even towards nothing, right? It's beyond the salary that you're paying these guys. It's tax, literally that. Like, you got to spend an extra $200 million just to be able to sign this guy to a $100 million contract. And some people don't want to do that.
Well, I wonder how much money that like you could be missing out on. Because like the Charlotte Hornets, like they don't win at all. Like, how much more money are they making than everyone else, though? Than teams who are spending, I guess, into the luxury tax or right around there, like actually trying.
Yeah, I would think teams like that aren't like they're
Wizards, like Brooklyn, like whoever, like
yeah, because like, you got to remember too.
How much more money could they be making?
I was pretty good friends with the president of basketball operations on the business side for the Sacramento Monarchs. Mm-hmm. And she was the president. She had that position when Chris was traded, Weber. She was just like, you've got to understand like the way that this all works. Like she spoke from the WNBA side. She was like, we went to two straight finals appearances, mm-hmm. and you don't let, this was the W in 2005 and six. You don't break even till you're in the playoffs. Mm. The further you go in the playoffs, the more money you make. There's got to be some truth to that for NBA teams too, because mm-hmm. their overhead is so significantly higher because of the contracts that they have. Now, of course, ticket prices are greater, attendance is greater. That's how this all starts to balance out. But she was like, financially with Chris, if we weren't going back to the Western Conference Finals, paying that contract was going to be really difficult mm-hmm. in Sacramento. And if you're not running game, you know, 3-4 mm-hmm. or 1-2 or whatever, the Western Conference Finals, you know, that number in the black is going to be significantly less. You try to, like, you're Phoenix. I can't imagine what Phoenix's, you know, profit number looks like, if it even exists, yeah. because you have a frustrated fan base. You have a season that's ending after 82 games, and a little murky. Weren't they one of the ones who had a screwed up television situation?
Yeah, they
with the regional,
they went back local,
I think. So
or like network TV out there or something like that.
So what are you pulling with that? Like when you have $350 million a year players, mm-hmm. and so it's all a. Sometimes it feels like it's all a house of cards. Sometimes it feels like it's a juggling act. Sometimes it feels like Joe Lacob, and I got a competitive team, and I'm going to ride this as long as I can. You talk about Joe, even Joe had a breaking point. Joe's breaking point, he may never admit this publicly, or maybe he did. Joe's breaking point was, I don't think we can win championships anymore. That's the breaking point. Mm-hmm. That man, at least in my opinion, Drew Down and Uncle Loon and those guys can correct me if I'm wrong. He said, I'll pay this if we can win a title. Mm-hmm. And I think he realized, I don't think we can win a title anymore. Right. I'm not going to pay it.
Right.
And I don't blame him for that.
Right.
But he held true to that word for as long as he could. And when push came to shove, the question of can I win a championship with Steph Curry, Draymond Green contract, a new Klay Thompson contract, does that win me a championship? Either he, the people around him, the front office, whoever, collectively decided, no, I can't. And that's where you started to see some change. That was the first time you started to see some change in the way that they approach business.
Yeah, and that's the way you laid it out was perfect. I don't want to say I'm sympathizing with owners and billionaires and all this other stuff.
Oh, those are your people. Like, you're in the club.
Those are not. I'm not in the club. What team do I own? None. What are you talking about?
Well, it's next. You've worked for Michael Jordan.
Stop it.
You got a championship ring.
It's true.
It's
the next logical step.
You're a TV star.
No, I'm not.
As seen on Pros vs. Joe's.
You've been in movies.
Season 5, episode 8.
You've been in movies.
It's true. Multiple scenes.
Have you been in a video game?
Never in my life.
I've never been in a video game.
I can only create myself. They barely started putting my last name in the audio-wise.
Have you been in a video game?
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying it's the next logical step.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's a compliment.
Come on, man. These guys, the college basketball star.
One day, Casey's going to be like, hey, did I ever tell y'all I recorded a record with Tupac?
He low-key did that with the movie, too.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. I tell you I was on Nipsey Hussle's mixtape. Oh, I didn't tell y'all that? Oh.
Well, that will never happen.
Did I tell you I own 3% of the Golden State Warriors?
3% of Elk Grove.
But the like you ask about like Charlotte, like
he's even got himself, he's got a picture of himself on his shirt.
Well, this
is just
you're wearing yourself.
This was just a nice drawing that somebody made into a crew neck.
You say somebody, your son drew that.
Well, he didn't make it into a crew neck. Shout out D-Lo. But like only so many teams can be a playoff team. Only so many teams can win it. There's only one that can win a championship. But, like, have a real belief of winning a championship. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could say I understand if I'm Charlotte, like, what am I paying into the tax for?
Well, Charlotte comes off as a team that just never tries, or not, I don't want to say that, but just they've never done anything to show that they want to be a winner or anything.
It feels
like
they can't get off first base.
Yeah.
Like every time it's like, all right, we got a star. Mm-hmm. Like we have a real star here. Okay, we got to get the right coaching, we got to get all the right things in place. And it's like, well, we missed that.
Charlotte feels
we missed that. And they just wind up kicking the can down the road in terms of correcting this roster. Mm-hmm. And being bad.
Yeah, Charlotte comes off as a team that feels okay with their situation. Like, yeah, I want to win, but whatever. I feel like they're okay with their situation. Like, make their money here.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I want to win, but whatever.
So let's bring it home, though. Do we think Vivek is like Charlotte?
No.
No.
No, not even close, I don't think. Vivek tries to win. He just doesn't know how.
Yeah, he's not like Charlotte. No.
What do you think? Because we've talked before, like the people always talk about the luxury tax. And we always say, well, what's he going in the luxury tax for? Like it's on Whiteside, the team that he was on. No, it doesn't make sense.
To be clear, we don't talk about the luxury tax. Mm. So, God bless Rory. He did. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe securing the Bagley does. Or securing the, where are we at? 12th pick?
12th pick, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he does. But, like, I don't – I've never – man, why doesn't he go into the luxury tax? I know why. I wouldn't do it either. I'm not going into the luxury tax for Bogdan Bogdanovich. I don't give a goddamn how happy you are for him. I'm not going into the luxury tax for his ass.
Did they pay Sabonis – Early and more than probably what anyone else would have paid him?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they don't get credit for that?
They should.
No, they're dummies for that.
Well, I know, like now.
Yeah. Now the tables are flipped. Yeah, no, they're idiots for that.
But you get my point.
Yeah, sure.
They'll spend, like,
and they had to get.
You haven't had anyone, like, to spend for, like you said, but, like, you'll spend, like, give Darren Fox contract, paid Sabonis proactively.
Now, I think James Sams is the one who said it. He said it on our airwaves, I believe, like, they're always aware of the luxury tax. And it's almost like the Joe Lacob thing. If I'm sure this is going to, you know, make me a contender or verify me winning a couple of rounds in the playoffs, sure. But if Mason Plumlee is the one that's going to put me in the tax, I'm not sure he changes your
fortune. But you also got to remember how the tax works, too. You have to have the assets to acquire someone that will take you into the tax.
Right.
Right? Like, you want that player has to be here. Like Domas, they got creative with how they extended Domas's contract early. And it was, I'll just say it was an extension. I'll just leave it at that.
What?
It was an extension.
Play the game.
Play the game. Well, didn't James?
Go ahead.
Didn't
say
James
it.
Call it a raise and extend?
Oh, I didn't know he said that. Yo, hey.
Not on D'Lo and Casey at the gas station, maybe. It's a flag.
I didn't know he said.
I don't even think he said that.
I think that is what he said. Text him. He said it was a raise and extend.
I'm not talking like that on my phone.
Oh, man. Wow.
Show's stupid, man.
You see how easy we baited this guy into a flag?
Anyways.
Oh, man. John Paul said that's what happened.
But the component to that was when they did it, they had to stay under the salary cap. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't. So like if they had waited and signed Domas, and I don't remember if it was last offseason or this offseason, whatever it would have wound up being, then you can sign him to whatever. It probably would have cost even a little bit more than that did, and gone over the salary cap if you needed to. Mm-hmm. So like there's timing issues involved with how they did this, and there's ways to go over the salary cap that makes sense. You acquire a player that you wind up signing I know this is going to upset some Kingsmen. If you wind up re-signing Zach LaVine, you can get into the luxury tax for that. If you put together a roster this offseason around Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis that you feel like, yo, this is it. Like we had a great win. We finally pulled a 50-win season, whatever, won a round in the playoffs, did whatever. We feel like we could have 3 to 4 years of this. We're willing to pay Zach LaVine and go into the luxury tax in this regard. This is a conversation that hasn't had to happen in Sacramento for a decade and a half. The lone one, and I there's so many smart basketball people who said, sign Bogdan Bogdanovic and figure it out later. You just created two, in the basketball sense, worthless players. Because everyone in the league knows you've got to get rid of one of them. You've destroyed the value of one of them. The one you try to trade has no value. And that's why I'll always believe that, I think it was Monty's decision to let Bogey walk was the right decision.
Yeah.
Hell, his decision to trade him for Dante DiVincenzo was a great position, a great decision. But the Milwaukee Bucks got a little too excited, had to let their buddy Shams Charania know that they did this deal. So Giannis knew, oh, my team's taking things seriously. And the whole thing blew up.
And we end up losing.
And the one team that didn't get in trouble was Sacramento.
Right.
And but we didn't get what we wanted out of it.
We didn't get the player. Yeah, man. So, my fault if we went down a super different road. Because I don't empathize and sympathize with the Dallas Mavericks ownership over not wanting to sign Luka. Like, I don't get that. I don't agree with that. I did feel bad for a little bit for Nico last night. You know, that was the premise of what I was talking about.
No, I got you, and the discussion is fine. I mean, that was Luka's return was a huge story. And the chants from the crowd, the real story isn't fire Nico or even the discussion, in my estimation, the discussion of the Dallas Mavericks, because there was a lot of, you rarely hear, you know, people like Mike Breen, Doris Burke. You really rarely hear people of that ilk go like, yeah. I mean, Mike didn't flat out say it. He more alluded to it. Yeah, they messed up. Like, and I know Doris was talking during the chants, like, yeah, this fan base is hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you rarely hear that from announced teams, you know, talking about how, yeah, I think the team really messed up with this one, especially from a guy like Mike Breen. The likes, you know, maybe you hear it from Stan Van. He'll get his shots in there, you know, every now and then. But
I just don't know what the Kings are doing.
Well, every coach for the Sacramento Kings is an interim coach. You'd know, Stan. Love Stan. But, yeah, you don't hear that very often, and it's because, like, this is probably the most infamous trade in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And, Nico holds that forever. I said yesterday I'd rather GM like Nico Harrison than someone who sits on their hands. I'd rather believe in something, take a swing at it, and hope that it works. Now, not this particular deal, but in the sense of, I'm going to take a massive swing because I think it makes my basketball team better. If it fails, at least I failed doing it the way I wanted to do it. And if again, we have no idea, but if this was Nico's idea, he felt this was what made Dallas better, then he can ride and die off of this decision. Yeah. It was just... it was such a focal point last night. But Luka scored 45. Like, Luka responded.
Right.
And I wasn't sure he was going to be able to. With the quivering lip and the red eyes and the towel and the extra long embrace with LeBron James, I was like, oh, man, don't go drop seven right out there in front of Dad.
Right.
The Lakers were playing on the road, but Luka Doncic was playing at home. Maybe you're not cheering. Maybe that Dallas Mavericks crowd wasn't cheering LeBron James when he scored, but they sure as hell were cheering Luka Doncic. Especially, there was a point in the second quarter where I think they realized, oh, we're seeing something.
Yeah.
And there's always that, you know, it's wrestling is funny in this way. If a crowd senses there's a title change coming, they're really excited. They don't care if they hate the person who's winning the title. They just know they're about to see something special. That crowd was already on edge. They were there to boo Nico and cheer Luka. And then they saw him doing something special, and it got even louder.
Yeah. Nah, that's that is That is
that was punk in Chicago last night.
Yeah, it really was. Like you said, he stepped up and did his thing. Mm-hmm. Talking about Luka.
Yeah.
You know, he
and he should be commended for that. Absolutely. That's a difficult situation mm-hmm. for him to be in. Yeah. You know, that's an important game for LA, and you know, the emotion going into the game. You know you're the centerpiece of it.
I mean, Kenny make our jokes about crying and stuff, but yeah, like that's a tough moment. It's not like being in the summer league, like Willie Green and crying during that or something.
That was the playoffs. That wasn't the summer league. That was the playoffs.
The playoffs in the summer league.
Yeah, it was a playoff summer league championship. He was crying.
I don't think
it's like, all right, man, settle down, bro.
Yeah, Willie Green, chill out.
What are you talking about? They just had a jump ball. It's mm-hmm. second quarter.
Get up, coach.
Willie, seriously, is Willie going to be fired on Monday?
He might
probably.
Be.
I kind of think he's.
What
going
else are you going
to
get out of this Pelicans team? Not I don't know. Yelling at you guys, but like, what else?
Well,
are we
it felt
doing
like
here?
You were. I don't know.
Apologize immediately.
I don't know. Like, and that's why. Like, I don't know that that's the right decision. But like, what else? What are they going to do?
You need to fire him and then trade Zion.
Man,
that's what you need to do.
What happened in New Orleans wasn't his fault. It shouldn't cost him his job.
And that's where like you get into these. This person should be fired. This person should be fired. Like a 21-58 team is Willie Green's fault.
Been right. 3-4 seasons. This iteration of the Pelicans didn't work the way I see it. Get everyone out and get some new voices in here.
And maybe that's
and,
not necessarily his fault, but yeah, let's get some new guys here because this group didn't work.
But that goes to. That goes to like what we talked about earlier. Like you said, it's not Willie's fault what mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. It's not his voice that was he can only speak to these guys that aren't good enough for so long. Mm-hmm. This year was a little bit of a lost year. It ain't even his voice or his fault or the team building fault that DeJounte Murray ripped his Achilles. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like how yeah. that's tough. That cost somebody their job when you yeah. talk about everything that had to go through. Then the season was pretty much done at this point anyway. But Trey Murphy, then he teared, rip his shoulder up or something
labor.
Like that. Yeah, his labor. I mean, that Willie ain't do nothing with that one. So, but it's also the nature of the beast. Like, yeah, what Jesse said is probably how things are going to go down. Like, got to get a new regime in there. Mm-hmm.
There's probably a clean house, take a breath, start over. Type thing again. I don't know if that involves David Griffin or not. Mm-hmm. My gut tells me it doesn't. Mm-hmm. That he's not fired.
I don't think he gets
the opportunity to rebuild this with another coach and figure out what to do with the likes of Zion Williamson and so on.
And they've got some assets to work with. You
they
know,
do.
They've got a problem.
But where are they
ten.
Going? Like you were in the playoffs a year ago. Like what are you trying to do?
You could be right back in the playoffs. You could be a top 16.
But what is that predicated on?
Zion's health.
Okay, well, how's that going for you?
Struggling. you got some.
At this point, you're keeping Zion Williamson because you're scared that he stays healthy somewhere else.
That's about it.
Zion, I think, in New Orleans have run their course.
It feels that way, but if I'm Griff,
I
don't.
I understand. I understand. I don't care if he played 30 games this year or not. You better have a deal that you better get my attention. You better godfather me right here.
And that's the thing. I think they would trade him if
don't
they
play
got
me.
What they
yeah don't play
what
me.
They feel they deserve back. Because I'm not. If I'm Griff, I'm thinking about it. Where I'm not going to necessarily trade him for. Like his shortcomings, not being able to stay healthy or whatever, I'm kind of trading him for what he could be. Like, so.
Yeah, right.
So don't give me your second rounders and that's your role player because of that's what he's shown so far.
Yeah.
You better come to the table with, like you said, a godfather offer or somebody that will represent what he could be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. But they got a top 10 pick. They got Zion to either have or trade. They've got.
CJ.
You know, CJ, they've got Herb Jones. Mm-hmm.
They lost
Murphy.
Herb Jones, yeah.
You know, they've got, and I say those guys on the team, but you could also look at them as assets mm-hmm. as well, like or two of them. So they're interesting. I could see them being in the playoffs next year.
Running through this real quick, you think Chauncey's out on Monday?
I don't think he should be. I think he's done a good job this year. Trista had me shook, though. She says he thinks he's gone. Bud should be. Coach Bud, yeah.
That's crazy. That's Phoenix is crazy. Yeah. Not because I think Bud is great, and I don't think he's partly responsible for all this, but Bud, Vogel, Monty, man.
Another coach on the way for Phoenix.
Is Nick Nurse out?
No. No. I got one for you. I'll ask you when we get back, though.
All right. I guess we're firing coaches here. We went from don't yell fire Nico to firing head coaches. That's what we're doing here. Oh, and we'll show some love to Harrison Barnes.
Oh, this guy.
Who decided in the most meaningless game he's going to play, now would be a good time for a walk-off three.
Yo, this guy. Hey, yo, whose man's is this?
At the Chase Center. Steelin' with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Casey's been so mean to Jesse over the course of this week. Jesse just left.
Get him the hell out of here.
He just grabbed Joe and said, Joe, cover me the rest of the way. I'm sick of Kenny. I'm out of here.
You want some of this too, old man?
Careful. Joe strikes me. Joe could be a little volatile. Joe might walk in here and be like, what you want to do?
Yeah, hit me with a chair.
Well, he could.
You can do that. I had a question. We were talking about coaches.
Come on, man. Keep it real. We're talking about firing them.
No, we weren't advocating for their firing. We just know how the game goes. So we're saying, is this guy going to get fired?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I know for a fact. For a fact, we'll have to be dealing with this on Tuesday. But maybe a couple weeks later. Is Doug Christie the head coach of the Sacramento Kings? I say yes. I think he gets the job.
I honest to God don't know.
That's fair too.
I have no idea. Like I don't know. Like I wish I had it. I can't. Like I feel like if I said yes, mm-hmm. I need to provide you with a reason. Mm-hmm. And I could. And if you know, I say this all. If this is debate class, like I could. They've responded to him. I think he's done well. Like we talk about, you know, the roster being short yesterday against Denver, and you know, maybe it caught up with them. Roster was short against Detroit. Mm-hmm. Roster was short against Cleveland. Roster was short against Charlotte. They won those games. So, you know, Doug didn't make any excuses last night. He went to the podium and said that's a tough one. You know, we could have done a few things differently. We didn't do this well enough. We didn't do this well enough. Like that was a tough one. They didn't go in there with the expectations of not playing well because Keegan Murray wasn't there, mm-hmm. or Malik or Jake LaRavia or whoever. So, like, there's something to be said for the way that this group is playing with Doug Christie. There's something to be said for the way that, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, those types of guys are playing for Doug Christie. If I were to say no, I feel like I could provide an answer, too. They didn't play good enough. They had a lightning stretch when Doug took over to essentially level things back out. Doug gets credit for it, mm-hmm. kind of levels things back out. And if I remember right, they won their first seven. But I know we looked it up. I think they won their first 10 of 11 or something like that with Doug as the coach. Yeah. And so when you look at that 10 of 11 and then you look at everything since then, it hits a little bit different. It was like, oh, the final 40 games was pretty tough. Hmm. So I think you can make an argument either way, which is why when you flat out ask the question, I don't know. Hmm. I cannot figure out if this team is going to retain Doug or not. And part of it is, admittedly, I can't figure out if they're going to retain Monty or not. Hmm. I don't think that they are, but I don't know. And when you get into the Monty's out, Doug is in, like I don't know that that's good for anyone. Including Doug. I don't know that because Doug will be the latest guy to, oh, sure, we'll sign you to an extension. But if you fall short 30 games next year, you're out, dog. So, like, I don't know what the ideal situation is for anyone involved past if Vivek Ranadive and his decision makers decide they want to move on from Monty McNair and whoever is left in this front office. You bring in a new front office, that general manager does his coaching search and decides, you know what? I think Del Christie is the best coach for this team. Mm-hmm. Then great. Then you're off and running. I don't know what, just like I don't know what to expect from the Sacramento Kings Friday night versus the Clippers, or Sunday night versus the Suns, or Wednesday night in a play-in game versus the Mavericks. I don't know what to expect from them when this season is over and decisions need to be made.
Yeah, that's a good breakdown of it all. I like I said, I do think Doug will be back. I think there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, I feel like he's shown enough that I think he could be a good leader of men given, you know, full season, training camp, time. Like, he hasn't even had a full staff there mm-hmm. a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's for me, he's shown enough to say, hey, he should get this opportunity. The other aspect of it is, I don't know how desirable that job is. I know there's only 30, 32 or whatever all the time, but the King's name is so mud right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're getting a guy that isn't essentially in the same position Doug is in.
That's right. Yep.
Like, you're not going and getting, you know, this veteran or this guy that has proven that, you know, he's worth his salt. Like, I think
who wants the job?
Right. Right. So I think if you're looking at all those reasons, I think you bring him back. There's a part of me, if Doug signed and he's in control to negotiate, but if he signed a contract, what would it probably be, a 2-3 year deal?
No, it better not be. It better be like 4.
Okay.
Like, that's the remember, I think I don't think I have the number wrong. Ty Lue would not accept the Lakers job because the standard at the time was 5 years and they offered him 4. Mm-hmm. I could be off, and it could have been the standard was 4 years and they offered him 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
There's kind of a standard to the length of a coaching contract. You can't sign a coach to a 2-year contract.
And right, I don't even know why I said 2.
Yeah. It should at minimum be at 4, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It at minimum should be 4.
Yeah, I think it should be. I think they start at 3, maybe. You know, like the lowest part is 3 for a coach. But you're right.
Where Doug
should start at 4.
Yeah, where
at
Doug
at
would.
With an option on that 4.
Sure. Yeah. And the concessions for Doug are probably in the year. The yearly salary.
Right.
You're a first time head coach. You know, you're not going to make what Mike made. Mm-hmm. You might make what Mike made the first time. Like, I think Mike was like $6 million. He was one of the lowest paid coaches in the league. I don't know that Doug needs to be that. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's looking at something between $7 and $8 million his first go around, or 6.5. I would hope he would be at like 7 at least, yeah. 7 to 8 million.
I thought, 2 weeks ago.
But you do have 3 years of Mike Brown to pay, so who knows what they're willing to do.
I thought 2 weeks ago that Monty was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Much like you right now. I'm not sure. I'm not as sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out here as we talk through this. If you're, part of me says, why not? I know why not, but just, like I said, work with me there. Why not just bring Monty back? Because we talked about it with James. There's not this massive overhaul I think you'll be able to do with this roster. There's only so much that you can do. Like, you're not going to be able to get rid of all 3 of the high-priced guys and start a rebuild or do something like that. It's going to probably be like a DeMar. Like, you move on from DeMar, see what you can get back in return. And do that. If that's what it is, you won't have a draft pick. you know, hopefully, because mm-hmm. I'm hoping to make the playoffs. So you won't have a draft pick. If that's what it is, I don't know if you need to clean house in that respect, because you're cleaning house to do what? Because you don't have a lot of moves, right?
Like, yeah.
Because of the two contracts. If you were in a Phoenix situation, right, where you could say, we got two contracts that we can move, you know, and we're just deciding which one. Two massive contracts. Devin Booker can net us this big return. Kevin Durant, he can, you know, net us a return as well. But we can move both of those. And as a GM, as a new GM coming in, I can use that to springboard into what I want this roster to look like moving forward. I don't think there's a springboard here in Sacramento right now. Not this upcoming year. So because of that, why start the motion of the mismatch GM and coach?
Yeah, you don't. Don't. There's no reason to do it. It doesn't put anyone in a good position.
Yeah.
Doesn't put the general manager in a good position.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, no, there's no perfect situation by doing that right now, because mm-hmm. it puts everybody in this awkward situation.
And you can't, like, you don't have to extend Doug the day the season is over. But you don't, like, you probably don't have to say anything regarding Doug Christie after the season
won't.
Is over. Well, well, there might not be anybody to say it.
That's true too.
I mean, there is a world where Monty McNair is retained as the general manager and conducts a coaching search. That's a thing. Like, that's a real possibility. But in terms of exit interviews, there might, like, you fire. Could you imagine Vivek? Could you imagine they fire Monty McNair and Vivek has to go to the podium?
Oh, my goodness.
After the season is over.
When was the last time Vivek spoke locally?
Cesar Chavez Park, this is your team. Here's David Garibaldi painting something upside down. Like, I was one of the few in the Proud who was in attendance the night of the Stephon Clark protest. He spoke that day.
He did.
That wasn't about the Kings.
Yeah.
I've always said that's Vivek's finest moment as the Kings owner. Mm. I know there's video of it. Not everybody, you know, experience, and I know a lot of people won't agree with me, but he was forced into the moment. It's not like he's like, hey guys, come here, I'm gonna rally everybody. He went to Garrett. He went to Garrett and Vince Carter, and they were like, no, man. And I think Vince was like, we're tired of doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. You do it. Like, Vince told us that story that night. He's like, that was a great, like, he wanted us to do that. Like, no, it'll mean more coming from you. Yeah. You do it. And to his credit, he said, okay.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.